are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play role-playing games. My name is Eran Aviram.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And today we shall discuss how does one choose the game that one is going to play. I mean, yes, you are a player and you play role-playing game, but which
role-playing games?
Yeah. Well, how do you know? How do you know? I mean, most people start playing when someone else pulls them into a specific game, and they will most likely continue playing that game. And they might find themselves occasionally interested in something else and maybe want to try something else. And there are ways to try something else. But what? And if you are an entire group of people who want to shift something new to something different, how do you choose?
This came to our attention due to an email we got from a very nice gentleman, apparently named Ori Weissblum. He told us that he tried Savage Worlds. He and his party didn't quite like it. He speculated that maybe they didn't understand the system correctly. Some of them really like D&D. And they really like creating strong character, etc. They're not very experienced. They only know, apparently, Savage World, D&D, and Dungeon World. And where do you go from here?
They wanted something else because they've been listening to us. And they know that we talk a lot about a lot of different systems. But they didn't even know where to begin. So there's, for example, on the internet, you might find things like a chart that shows like 80 different games. And you go through this choice after choice. Do you like Western? Yes. Do you like Western with supernatural elements? Yes. And you continue on until you get to a system. But this chart is very dated and, I think, wrong. I don't think you should start your choosing process by going through which genre do you enjoy, because I don't think that's the first question.
No, I think the first question should be, what kind of game do you want to have in your gaming group? Now, as some of you may have noticed in the past, both me and Eran believe strongly that there are good RPG systems and bad RPG systems. But, and this is a huge but, this is like a stone giant's but, in a somewhat counterintuitive way, whether a system is good has nothing to do with how much fun it is to play that system. If you would consider cinema, for example, how well a movie is made from a cinematographical point of view has nothing to do with is this a fun movie to watch. I've seen countless movies that were expertly created but had no meaningful plot. And I have seen really, really stupid action movie, which are absolutely adorable to see because of the choreography, the lighting, etc.
I think the main problem here is good and bad mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And we most of the time only use it to say good at achieving its goals or not good at achieving its goals.
Indeed.
And the goals might be, first of all, of course, something that is not interesting to you, but they might be something that is not interesting to anyone. So even a system that's really great at achieving very uninteresting goals is technically good.
if I can pinpoint that for me at least, a system is good if it's excel at translating the experience of the game to the players. If this mechanic is meant to give you the sensation of being outlaws in the Wild Wild West, how well it translates that emotion and settings to you as a player or as a GM even?
How does it manage to evoke the specific sort of emotional, I would even say plot experience that the creator wanted to create and that the players and GM have agreed to and bought into?
Yes, and we can go on and on and on here. For example, if you're yes. playing a game centered around emotional bonds between friends, and that is the main point of the game, something like a hit point system would be redundant. It would take away yes. from the experience, because you would be thinking toward that, because this is one of my in-game resources that I manage. But this is not the main point of the game. Now, there are many, many other parameters that are not included in this well-made or not well-made definition, such as what is the learning curve to learn this new system? Is this system popular? Is new content still being created for this gaming system? Or how developed is the setting, the world that comes with the system? Now, some of these questions might not interest you in the slightest. For example, I almost never run adventures inside their own setting. I like to create my own settings. While Eran, on the other hand, love running ready-made adventures. So
It's really important to me to know that there are good adventures, good campaigns that I can buy for a system.
Indeed. And some of these would be the major factors that would determine whether you and your group enjoyed or suffered through a gaming session of a specific system. Now, because of all these different factors, if someone were to come to us and say, Uri and Eran, please recommend the new game system for me to try. Any answer that we would give them would be, you know, half guess, half calculated guess, because we know which system are more popular among many people, so we could recommend those. However, we don't know what your gaming group likes, how your GM approaches running games, what kind of genre do you enjoy, what kind of settings do you enjoy, what is the game style that you enjoy. What we can do, however, is suggest a set of questions that I believe could help steer you in the right direction. For example, the first one would be, what is the genre of the game you enjoy the most? Is it fantasy? Is it sci-fi? Is it maybe a specific setting inside sci-fi, like Star Wars or Firefly?
So you say you should start with the genre?
I would say yes, because some systems are very good at creating the right atmosphere and feel of a specific genre. But even more to the point, if you like Star Wars has its own very specific game system which does Star Wars very, very good. So right off the bat, I could recommend, okay, you like Star Wars, you like the feel of Star Wars, and if there's a very good game mechanics that's already inside that genre, that world, that settings that you enjoy, this could be a very easy fix, a very easy combo that will solve you the rest of your problems.
Sure, but I think I maybe would have started with a question like, what is the sort of plot or stories that you would like to tell and you feel that your current system is not great at telling?
And I would agree with you, only that for the most part, a genre would also come with a specific archetype of a plot. If you're playing the Wild West, odds are that you're an outlaw or a sheriff.
Yes.
And odds are that you're fighting either, you know, wild Indians, outlaws, or the sheriff, depending on who are you in this triangle.
Okay, let's continue.
Okay. Now, question number two would be, what is the level of power, and I'm doing air quotes here around power, what is the level of power you wish to have in your game? Do you want to be a strong character in the world? Do you want to be the strongest? Do you want to be on your path toward being the strongest? Or maybe you don't care about the power of the characters. You just want to focus on the characters themselves, their development, the bonds between different characters. A lot of time I ask, and if at the end of the adventure, the GM will tell you, but the real treasure was the friendship you built all along. Would you punch your GM and ask what the loot, goddammit? Or would you say, aw, that is so sweet? I think this is a very strong basic indication, because a lot of systems tend to be, okay, we're going to focus on plot or character development, or we're going to focus on strategy, tactics, and making your character stronger or with better abilities. I think this is a very distinct fork in the road between many, many systems. Question number three. How much time will the GM and players be willing to invest in learning a new system? Some systems are very easy. They come printed on one sheet of paper, sometimes just one side of that sheet of paper, and you can learn it in a half hour and keep going. Other systems, as weird as they may be, might come in a really short 14-page booklet, but some would require you to read about 200 pages of really, really small font and see a few online actual plays in order to really understand them. I'm looking at you, Pathfinder. Yes, I'm looking at you.
I think the main problem with things like Pathfinder is not necessarily understanding them. It's that there are so many different things that you should know. And maybe search for during the game or before the game, or creating a character will take ages because there are a lot of details.
Yes, indeed. And the question is, do you enjoy putting in that effort? Can you put in that effort? Maybe yes, maybe not. But that will help you minimize the list of what gaming system should I try. And last but not least, number four, what did you play before? Which part did you enjoy? Which part didn't you enjoy? This can already tell you, number one, which gaming system you don't want to be recommended because you've tried them, and obviously they're not what you're looking for. Otherwise, you would simply play them. But to specifically say what you enjoy and what you didn't enjoy about existing systems would give a very clear indication to people who are familiar with many different game mechanics what is the kind of mechanics that you really want, or what are the kind of mechanics that hinders your game. Now, I think basically if any one of you would simply take the time to answer these questions, these are simple questions, right? They're not something you need to sit down and have a long, hard discussion with yourself before answering. And I think once you have these answers in front of you, some gaming system would seem like the obvious choice, or if you're not familiar with many gaming systems, you could very easily describe what it is you want to play to someone who is familiar with many gaming systems, and they could recommend you what to try next. And of course, if you want to drop us a line, send us an email with the answer to these four questions, and if you forgot them, they'll be in the show notes. Simply answer them, send us an email. We'll be more than happy to recommend the gaming system for you to try next.
That's true. I'm not sure I completely agree with everything you've said, because while I do agree that it's a good starting point, I would like to recommend against committing to any of the answers here, especially because I think a lot of the questions are about what you already know and already like. But I would assume that most people have no idea what they like. They have a general concept, and they have no idea of what is out there. They maybe have, again, a general concept. They heard about Powered by the Apocalypse, but they don't know what it means. They don't know what sort of gaming experience they can get out of it. So, for example, asking about the power level, it has an assumption in it. It says, do you enjoy having the ability to increase your character's strength and ability to influence the world, etc.? And most people would say, yes, of course I enjoy this. And I can't imagine a game in which I don't get to be stronger. But for example, in games like Apocalypse World itself, you don't get stronger. You get maybe more broader. You get the ability to influence the story in different ways. In City of Mist, you never get stronger. You only get more abilities to influence the game. In these games, the interesting thing is seeing a character go through a process, not necessarily upward. You just enjoy the dramatic of whatever is happening there. And most people that haven't yet tried this and only know about going up from level 1 to 20 will not be able to even imagine a world in which they enjoy a different sort of thing in a role-playing game. I think I say so because that was me. And I was completely unaware of having any other ability to play anything else in a game. And it was so clear to me that all games are about becoming stronger. And any sort of drama or intense emotion or things that happen to a character would happen because things happen in the story as I play the character. That's not how many games behave this day, however. Mm-hmm. And so what I would like to talk about is how to try new things. Because I think that the best way to answer these questions is trying a lot of things and realizing and opening yourself to the world and seeing what sort of things are out there so you can better understand what you actually enjoy, what is actually available to you. Now, the main problem is we don't have time to try a lot of things. And there are indeed a lot of things. So I have two recommendations on how to minimize the amount of time required from you and the group, because I sort of assuming when I say you that I talk to an entire group. So you'll only get to really do like two or three games and still get the best out of this experience. First, try broadly different things. If you've only played D&D or Pathfinder or Shadowrun or I don't know, everything in which you run around and shoot things, try, for example, City of Mist, or which I should note, full disclosure, I'm the editor for, or anything else powered by the Apocalypse, including even Apocalypse World. Try something like Legacy, which is a game about playing families over generations, and every generation, which is the equivalent of an adventure, you get a character, but that character dies because a lot of time passes by the time you start the next generation. So you have a new character each time, and it's a role-playing game. It's an incredible role-playing game. They have like 20 different settings these days. Amazing settings. I will give links in the show notes. I really like them. I bought some of them. There's no chance in hell I'm ever getting to play Legacy, unfortunately, with my group, but these settings are amazing. Try something like Blades in the Dark, because it is nothing like Powered by the Apocalypse games. It's indie. Apocalypse and Blades are both indie. That's things that we've talked about when we've talked with James from Leisure Games, when we summed up 2018 and 2017. And the best-selling games from those times, from those years, we've talked about both Apocalypse and Blades. Blades is vastly different from Apocalypse. You will get an experience of becoming a group of outlaws, and you need to take care of your turf, and you need to take care of creating a world, although much of it exists, and you create flashbacks and decide on what is harming you, what is the thing that is going to stand in your way, and you do it because that's part of the game, and it's amazing. Try something completely different. One of Grant Howitt's one sheets. Grant Howitt is this dude.
He's British. He's a very much dude.
He's British, and I sort of know him, but that's not why I recommend him. It's because one of his one sheets is probably very popular thanks to Critical Role. It's called Honey Heist. And it's a game in which you play bears that go on a heist and try to rob some honey. And you only have two attributes. One is bear and one is criminal. And when you roll, you roll either bear or criminal. And when you fail, then you get the second attribute gets stronger. So that's a short game. I mean, you probably won't play it more than one session, but it's a very interesting session, and it has a lot of interesting one-sheets. And again, the reason I recommend it is because it's vastly different experience from everything you're used to.
And it's always important after playing a brand new game to not try and brand it as good or bad. You should really consider what did you enjoy and what didn't you, and what was so new that you don't really know what you thought of yet.
Agreed. Now, the last thing I would recommend here in trying both different things is to go to Indie Press Revolution, which is probably the biggest site for independent press, also Revolution, apparently. And they're great. They have a lot of PDFs, so you can buy PDFs through them, or you can buy, of course, printed. But the main thing is you can see what are the hottest games, what are the biggest names, what are the things that everyone is playing. And that's good, because there are a lot of games there. So how would you choose? I recommended to choose broadly, but which of the vast array of things you can choose from, should you choose? And the answer is the most critically acclaimed things. Mm-hmm. And that's my second point. And to know what is critically acclaimed, you will either need to listen to some podcasts like ours, and you can listen again to what we've talked about in the episodes with James Graham, because there was a lot of discussion about what is good and why. You can ask in your local friendly gaming store if they are good with indie games. Not all LFGs are good with indie games. Leisure Games specializes in it. You can enter it and see several dozens of indie games, and they will be able to tell you what these games are about and why they are interesting. So that's an excellent source to go to if you have such a store in your locale. There's the RPG Pipeline that you might remember from the episode we did with Richard, maintains the website, and there's a podcast even with Lloyd and James, which is a different James, who talk about the new releases, mostly indie releases, and what they play and why. All of these places are, again, only the beginning. You should probably find a good place online to ask about these things. I would recommend our group, of course, because we monitor it and we can answer it, or bring someone that we know that plays something good and ask them to explain why this thing is good. We can maybe point you at good podcasts that talk about what's the hottest thing in indie. We can maybe point you at the nearest convention, because while it's great to go to a convention and try out some new games, I would say it's really important to first choose, to first sit down and invest some time in choosing the game, because not every game is worthy of your time. So you should probably decide beforehand, wait, I've heard about Blades in the Dark. I've read about Blades. I've looked a bit at the website. I've read through the reviews on DriveThruRPG. I would like to try out Blades in the Dark. Now I would either buy it and try it out with my group, or let's go to a convention and try it there. Or let's go to a place like Roll20.net and ask around in there. I understand that the looking for group feature is pretty good, actually. And you can try out there all sorts of things and have some experience with this new and unusual thing that you're trying to understand. Finally, I should note, when you try a new system, it's really important to actually try it. And the reason I say it is because just a few weeks back, I've read about a person in one of their Facebook groups that I frequent who wanted to try out Masks, which is a game powered by the apocalypse about teenage superheroes in a city that you create. And one of the parts of the creation process of when you just sit down to create the game, to start the game, is that each of the players needed to tell about one of the features of the city. They need to create a part of the city. And he said, as the GM, that they didn't really feel like it, so it fell on him. And that's not how you play Masks. That's thinking in D&D style, where the GM needs to now create the world and the players inhibit it. Masks is, and most powered by the Apocalypse games, are cooperative storytelling in which the players have a lot of power. And this demand to create part of the world is not only a good practice when you create a character in order to get into the mindset, it's also required and part of the rules. And if you don't do it, you play against the rules of the game. It's not cheating. It's just not playing correctly. It's like ignoring proficiency bonuses or levels in D&D.
It's simply using the wrong tool for the job. It's like trying to hit a nail with a screwdriver. It can be done.
you are trying to learn how to use a hammer.
Yes.
Put down the screwdriver. When your mind goes to the screwdriver, instead go to the rules, read them again, and do what they say. You are here to learn a new thing. And if you are playing, then ask the GM or the other players again, why is this rule and why is this rule? And this will help you, I think, understand what's going around. Not all GMs, not all groups are good at explaining rules. That's true. And you should also not let your first experience with a new system be the thing that determines if this is a system to you or not. After a few times, you will be able to judge if you were taught correctly and if your experience was the right one. It's a weird skill to have, this understanding your understanding, but it's a thing that everyone develops. Once you get exposed to many sets of rules, eventually you realize, I was just exposed correctly to a set of rules, and my experience from it was right and good, and I understand it. Not completely, but I understand it. Whether it's for me or not, it's something else entirely. And you will be able to tell, well, I was just exposed to a set of rules. I don't know what, I have no idea, I can't, this was not a good exposure. I don't know what is going on here, and my experience was yucky for various reasons. I should ignore this experience. It says nothing about the rules and whether they are for me or not for me. Let's try it again somewhere else, sometimes else. And I think that's it. Uri, do you have anything to add?
Yes, you should definitely play more role-playing games, more gaming system with more yes. people. Do yourself a favor and open up your mind to the amazing wealth that we have in our amazing hobby nowadays. It's mind-blowing. I know that years ago, me and Iran did a whole project about playing different gaming system. We would meet every week and with a bunch of friends, and every week play a different gaming system. Just
and to make it easier, by the way, because it sounds insane, each of us was a GM for a different system.
Of course.
So each of us learned the system and then ran it. It's very important, and that was the thing that allowed this project to continue.
Indeed. And it's a mind-opening experience. And there's so many easy ways nowadays. Boy, do I sound old nowadays. There are so many easy ways to learn new gaming system. If you want to learn Fate, you can simply watch an episode of Tabletop or read a 2-page comic that Iran did. I mean, wow. This is like the fact that you don't have to read a 200-page book to understand a gaming system today is amazing for me. And you have this amazing wealth of forums and Facebook groups and Twitter hashtags and wherever. You can basically throw a stone in the internet and you're going to hit 5 roleplay-related websites. Use all these amazing resources to level up your game. That's all I have to say.
And now it's time to take the load off.
Woo! This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing games in our own personal lives, and I would like to start, Uri, because I have news!
News!
Yes, if you're listening to this episode in the week in which it was uploaded, please do note that Free RPG Day
is upon us!
Yes, it is this Saturday, 15th of June. All around the world, people will go to their local friendly game stores and play role-playing games and grab a free role-playing game. This is an excellent opportunity to try a new system because you can just take the, I don't know, whatever quick start of whatever system that looks interesting or that you've read about and looks good, take it home and try it there or play it in the store. I would, however, suggest that you don't take things from systems that you already know. There's this power within us. There's this desire to have all of the things. And it's generally speaking a good desire. But when you are grabbing that, for example, Pathfinder adventure, while you already play Pathfinder, you are, in essence, preventing some new, uninitiated player from experiencing Pathfinder through that same book, because there's a limited number, unlike PDFs. So buy the PDF instead. It's going to be available through whatever, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I want to say that here in On the Shoulders of Dwarves, we don't just talk the talk, we also walk the walk. I, this very week, have played an introduction game to Apocalypse World, which a friend of mine organized. It's amazingly easy. You simply post on the relevant Facebook group, hey, who wants to run an introduction to X for me and a few friends? And there were so many people saying, yeah, sure, why not? You know, bring me pizza. I'll keep running the game as long as the pizza's there. And the reason I was so interested in this is because I've played several hacks of Apocalypse World. And for those who are not familiar with the phrase, a hack is a readjustment of the game system into a different world or setting or whatever. They're called hacks. Anything that you say that has the Powered by the Apocalypse logo is pretty much most likely a hack of Apocalypse World. I've played several hacks, but they always seemed a bit off. And finally, I got to play the original game, the Apocalypse World game itself. And finally, many things clicked into place. Suddenly, because it's a world and a setting and a game mechanic and a form of playing, which is collaborative storytelling, that all fit together well. There's a reason why there are so many hacks to this specific game and setting. And it really, really opened up my eyes to the possibilities inherent in the system and why it got so many modifications. And if I'm thinking back on the last time I took a chance on a new game mechanic and was rewarded, I would have to say I was browsing in a website dedicated to indie RPGs. I was looking for something specific, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. And suddenly there was a title, and the title was Kiss Her Before the World Ends. That's the title of the role-playing game.
And evocative.
And also, yes. And the cover is also very well made and very evocative. You see two characters on the verge of kissing with set against the background of the galaxy. And I thought to myself, I have to play this game. I bought it immediately. It was like $10 or something in that vicinity. And I think it's a 12, 14 pages, big font, easily explained. And I just read through the whole thing in one setting very quickly and simply looked at it and said, oh my God, I have not thought of using roleplay to do this. And it really opened up. I'm not going to say anything else. I want you to have that same mind-opening experience. But do go there and simply buy something. Take something that you look at and think, I don't know what that is. I think $10 is a very small amount to invest for having a new experience in the hobby that you like.
Yeah. Let's say once every 3 months, maybe.
Yeah, and if there's someone that, you know, constantly create new stuff that you like, they are most likely have a Ko-fi or a Patreon account that you can support.
Indeed.
And make sure that those amazing adventures in the system keep flowing.
And with this word, we would recommend our own Patreon account, because we actually have one. It's small, it's lovely, it's this petite little thing, mostly because we don't give anything. We can take your money. If you would like to give us some, we would very much appreciate it, because we do all of this for free. And if you think that this is worthy of, let's say, $1 per month, which is 4 episodes per dollar, I think it's a pretty good deal.
I would pay 25 cents to listen to an episode of On the Shoulders of Dwarves. Maybe
I
even
agree.
30.
$30?
30 cents.
Per episode?
30 cents.
Ah, okay.
Listen, guys, we're going to record these episodes regardless. This is our passion,
yes,
and we love it dearly. The reason why we have a Patreon account is simply to pay for storage and websites and all of those miscellaneous.
Pay however and whatever you'd like. We'll give a link in the show notes. And send us email at show@dwarfcast.net. And you can also find us all over the internet if you like to. And you can ask us things either through Facebook, through Twitter, or through email. And if you'd like us to talk about the thing that you ask us, then great, because we're probably going to do that. So if you'd like us not to say your name or to avoid some details, please do note that. Finally, if you want to support us while also buying yourself a new indie game, go to DriveThruRPG through our affiliate link, which is available on our website. That way, nothing changes for you, but we get a small percentage of your sale. That's because DriveThru are pretty awesome with this, and that's good for everyone involved.
Now I think you should stop and go play some role-playing games.
That's a brilliant idea. We should probably say goodbye first. Are you ready to say goodbye?
I am. Later!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo. And you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.